إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, as we were talking about yesterday about the hurmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited, I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us this deen of Islam as a complete way of life. Islam is not a set of rituals related to worship. Islam is not a set of rules related to one aspect of life, whether it is domestic or whether it is official or whether it is professional or anything else. Islam is a complete way of life that encompasses every aspect of what a person may need to do in his or her life. And therefore, the application of Islam in every aspect of life is equally important. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, O you who believe, enter into Islam fully and completely. The address itself is not to the disbelievers. Allah is not saying, oh, you who don't believe, enter into Islam. This is not an invitation to convert to Islam. The addressees of this statement, of this ayat of the Quran, are the believers. So, if the people are already believers, what is the meaning of saying, enter into Islam fully? Allah is saying, oh, you who believe, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, udkhilu fi silmi kafa. O you who believe, enter into Islam fully. What does it mean? So if I'm already a believer, I'm not in Islam. So if I'm already in Islam, then what is the meaning of enter into Islam fully? It shows that believing, meaning, saying, believing la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and saying that is the first step where you enter into the door. So, you are, having said that, you are no longer a non-Muslim, you are a Muslim, alhamdulillah. But there is a lot more to be done. So, enter into Islam fully means enter into Islam fully and completely in every aspect of your life. So, I have said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, but what about the food I eat? What about the earning that I earn? What about the environment of my home? What about how I treat my wife and children? What about how I treat my neighbors? What about my dealings with people? What about any promises and any oaths and any agreements that I have with people? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not read or would not pray Salatul Janaza for anyone who had an outstanding loan on his name. Before he prayed Salatul Janaza, he would ask, does this man or woman owe anything to anybody? Do they have a loan? And if somebody says, yes, Ya Rasulullah, this person owes money, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, who will pay that loan? And if somebody did not take Jamaza, if somebody did not say, no, I will pay this loan, he would say, I will not read Janaza for this person. Later on, when they had Maal-e Ghanimat, when they had Ghanima from Ghazwat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, I will pay his loan. Yeah, he would take it on himself. But he did not simply read Salatul Janaza for somebody who had an outstanding loan. Now think about this. This is not somebody, the person is not a kafir, he is not a murtad, he is not left Islam, right? He is not a mushrik. This is a good Muslim. He took a loan, he didn't do anything haram. It's not haram to take a loan. He took a loan and then he died. He didn't intend not to pay back the loan. Death came to him, it is not his fault he died. Irrespective of all that, the importance of dealings is so important, it's so critical. I mean, today we promise anyone anything, then we walk around like there is no tomorrow and then, you know, you die. Now think about if you have promised to give somebody something and you don't give it and you die, you are in serious trouble, believe me. You are in very serious trouble. And it doesn't matter how many salahs you prayed and how many hajj you did, all of that is a different issue. What you owe to the person to whomever you promised, whatever you promised, This is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will not go to Jannah unless that is finished. He did not used to read Salatul Janaza for people who had loans. Even though to take a loan is not haram, as I am explaining, this is not something, they did not do anything wrong. But there is an outstanding with regard to hukukul ibad, is some agreement with someone. So Islam came as a complete way of life. That is why in Islam we have laws, for example, of inheritance. Right? If a person dies and they have property, then Allah has specified who will inherit this property. In Islam, there is no concept of writing a will concerning your entire property. For example, you hear these things in the West, you know, somebody wrote his entire property to Harvard University or something. And a good thing. I mean, you have people also writing their whole property to their cat or something. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying even a good thing. Islamically, you cannot do that. You cannot write your entire property to the haram. No, you cannot do that. You cannot write your entire property to this madrasa. You are allowed, for example, to understand very in broad terms, you are allowed to bequeath only 1/3 of your property, 33%. The other 66% or 67% necessarily has to go to those people who will inherit from you according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which in broad terms, it's the lineage up and down. So, if your father, mother, grandmother, grandfather are alive, they will inherit. If your children and grandchildren are alive, then in that line, I mean, once the children are there, then nobody else gets them. If the children are not there, then the brothers, sisters, they inherit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified who will inherit what. The husband will inherit if the wife dies, wife will inherit if the husband dies, and so on. How much all of this is specified. It is not in your control to give 1 cent more to anyone or 1 cent less to anyone. Even if those people have not treated you properly. I mean, think about this. Islam does not give you the right to say that I have 3 sons, 2 of them were good, 1 of them was bad, so I am going to disinherit. No, you cannot disinherit. That son who did not treat you properly will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment with regard to his behavior to his parents. That's a different issue. But you cannot disinherit that person. The only time you can disinherit that person is if that person leaves Islam. If he leaves Islam, then automatically he is disinherited, because a Muslim cannot bequeath to a non-Muslim and he cannot inherit from a non-Muslim. But other than that, you cannot disinherit a child. Now, the reason I am saying this is because today we are living in a world where people want to subvert the Sharia. Because they have been told and they have decided to believe, and this belief, all of this belief is without investigation. All such beliefs are believed because people don't take the time and the trouble to study the deen. So they believe that the Sharia of Islam is unjust, na'udhubillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just, na'udhubillah, and Allah has given more to the males and less to the females, and so on and so forth, and we have all these beliefs. All of these are false. If you actually believe this, this amounts to major shirk and kufr. If you attempt to write, or if you write a will which goes against the Sharia, this is shirk and kufr. Wallahu alam, with that will, if you die, whether you even die as a Muslim. It is as serious as that, because you are writing a will, you are attempting to create a law which goes against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which exits you from Islam. It's as serious as that. Now, thing to remember, a will is what comes into effect after a person dies. Right? There is no validity of a will while the person is alive. So, there are different rules for giving in your lifetime and for writing a will. The rule for giving in your lifetime, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it very clear that the rule is you give equal share to all children, male or female. A man came to Rasulullah and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have this, he brought one of his sons. He says, I love this boy very much, and I have given all my property to this boy. I have gifted all my property. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, do you have other children? He said, yes. He said, take back this property and divide it equally among all of them. He did not say, divide it in a way where you give the males, the boys two shares and the girls one share. He didn't say that. He said, divide it equally among all. That is the rule of Islam. Many people don't understand this. Even while they are giving gifts, in their lifetime, they will give one share to the boy and they will give half a share to the girl. This is not permissible. This is against the Sharia of Islam. In your lifetime, if you give a gift, you are supposed to give the gift equally to all your children, male or female, boys or girls. After you die, it is not in your power to give anything. One third of your property, you are allowed to give to those who will not inherit. Which means that you cannot give this one third to your sons and daughters and your wife or your husband or your parents, because they will all inherit from you. This one third is meant for those who will not inherit. For example, there is somebody who has served you, there are some servants of yours, there are friends, there are other relatives of yours, there may be some friend, there may be some other institution you want to give, and so on and so forth, depending on how much you have. This one third is for those people who will not inherit from you as per the law of Sharia. The two thirds of your property is not in your control to give to this one or that one. That will go by law to those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designated as your inheritors. That is why many times, people come to me and they say, please tell my father to give me my share of property. So I tell, my standard answer is, sure, I'll tell him, how much is your share? What is your share? Then he will say, no, we are three of us. Two brothers and one sister. So according to what? First of all, while your father is alive, you have no share. So get this out of your mind. There is no share while the father is alive. While the father is alive, the property belongs to him 100%, or it belongs to your mother 100%. That's why in Islam, it is not permissible to have joint accounts. It is not permissible to be joint holders of property, because you are disinheriting those who will inherit from you. So if I have three children and my wife and I are joint holders of a property, I die, who will inherit? Nobody. Because my wife is alive and she is holding the property. If the property was held separately, my share with me, my wife's share with her, then if I die, my children would inherit from my share. Then when she dies, they will inherit from her share. That is why Islam does not permit you to have joint properties. That is why Islam says the woman's property belongs to her completely. The husband has no say in the property of the woman. He cannot decide on it. He cannot tell her how much to have. He cannot take it. He cannot give it. He cannot do anything. That is her property. She does not even need to tell him how much she owns. Nothing. Zero. He has no control whatsoever over her property. If he tries to take control over her property, he is violating her rights and he will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. This is the justice of Islam. The husband owns his property. But in his property, his wife has a share. Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu anhu, his wife was, her name was Zainab radiallahu anha. She was a wealthy woman. She was a businesswoman. She was a wealthy woman. Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu anhu was a scholar. He was very poor. He had no time to work and so on and so forth. He was constantly engaged in scholarship. He was very poor. So Zainab radiallahu anha asked him, can I give my zakat to you? Can I give my zakat to you? He said, I don't know. So she said, ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tell me. He said, I will not ask. It's your issue. Go and ask. He said, go and ask. He did not say, I will take you. He did not say, I will ask on your behalf. She told him, please ask on my behalf. He said, no. You go and ask. So Zainab radhiyallahu anha went to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She knocked on the door. Bilal radhiyallahu anha opened the door. She said, I want to see Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went and told her, Ya Rasulullah, Zainab is here to see you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who is Zainab? So she gave her name. Zainab, daughter of so-and-so, wife of Abdullah ibn Masud. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw her. He said, yes, what is the issue? She said, Ya Rasulullah, I have money. I am liable for zakat. My husband is not liable for zakat because he is so poor. Can I give my zakat to my husband? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what a wonderful question. What a good question you have asked. He said, yes, you can give your zakat to your husband and you will get two rewards, one for paying zakat and two for helping your husband. Right? But can the husband give his zakat to the wife? No. Why not? Because to look after his wife is his duty. Husband cannot give zakat to the wife. It is her right to get your money. It is not your right to get her money. So she, if she gives it, that is discretion on her part. And she is doing ihsan on you, for which Allah will reward her. But if you give her money, it is her right. You are not doing her a favor. She thanks you, alhamdulillah, that's good. That's a good thing. But even if she doesn't thank you, that is her right. Can you give zakat to your parents? No. It is their right. That you should look after them, that you should serve them. This is the justice of Islam. And we talk about discrimination against women. That is because we are ignorant. And we want to remain ignorant. Inshallah, we'll talk more about this. I don't want to extend the Fajr reminder beyond the time that we have for it. But just keep these thoughts in your mind. Learn your deen. You will only have confidence in your deen if you know your deen. If you don't know your deen, you will run around like little, scared little monkeys like everybody else. If people are, you know, chasing you. They are ignorant and you are running. And you are hiding, you know, your face here and there. Because you don't want to study your deen. So please study your deen. Then you will have confidence in your deen and say, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu gave us a beautiful way of life. Which is based on a fundamental principle, which is, Allah knows more than me. It's as simple as that. So ask yourself, do you know more than Allah? Or does Allah know more than me? If Allah knows more than me, then I do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me. Because He knows more than me. Doctor is sitting here. If I go to him for some ailment, may Allah keep all of us healthy. And then he tells me, please do this. I say, no, I will do my own thing. Then, either you believe this man, he studied and so on and so forth and all his experience and all his qualifications. He knows more than me in this particular matter. So if I go there, I will shut my mouth and listen to him. And if I don't want to listen to him, then why am I wasting his time? So you decide for yourself, does Allah know more than you or you know more than Allah? If you know more than Allah, do whatever you like. I mean, then you will face Allah on one day. But if Allah knows more than you, then do what Allah told you to do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand the fundamentals of our deen and to follow them and follow those things, because in that is khair and barakah for us in this life and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.